Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in our series called The Invisible War. In these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. If you've ever had the sinking suspicion that there are unseen spiritual forces working against you, you're going to want to stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a special 7-session DVD series and workbook from Pastor Rick called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle Against Temptation. And you can take a sneak peek at this valuable tool by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called When Your World Falls Apart.
What do you do when your world falls apart? I mean, when you get the call and it's the dreaded word, you have cancer. When the boss calls you into the office and said, I'm sorry, we're still having to cut back, you're fired, you're laid off. What do you do in a time like that? What do you do when a loved one walks out the door? What do you do when you break off an engagement that you had your hopes pinned on? What do you do when someone dies in your family that was really the pillar in your life? What do you do when an accident happens and all of a sudden all your plans are thrown out the door for the foreseeable future? This is the question that a guy named Jeremiah asked thousands of years ago. Jeremiah was a prophet in the Old Testament times in Israel. And during his lifetime, he saw his nation decimated. Here's what happened in Israel during his time. The nation went into an economic crisis in a tailspin. His land was terrorized by a foreign enemy. They actually came in and began to take people out and move them to another country as slaves. He witnessed incredible inhumanities done to people and all kinds of suffering. Everybody was out of work and people were literally starving to death. Now, during this time, Jeremiah wrote two books. One is called the Book of Jeremiah, and the other is called the Book of Lamentations. Most people don't know about the Book of Lamentations. It's very short. Now, what is a lamentation? Lamentation is a word we use anymore. It's an old English word that means to complain. So you could call this book the Book of Complaints, because that's really what it is. To lament means to complain. When I unload my sins on God, that's called confessing. When I unload my complaints on God, that's called lamenting. And so the Book of Lamentations is literally just a book of Jeremiah's complaints against God. It's not a real positive book. But in the middle of it, there's a very positive message on what to do when your plans fall through, on how to rebuild your life when your world falls apart. We're gonna look today at Lamentations chapter 3. If you have a Bible, open to that chapter. If you don't, all of the verses we're gonna look at are there on your outline. And we're just gonna go verse by verse through chapter 3 and look at 6 lessons that Jeremiah learned, 6 steps that he took to rebuild his broken world. Now, let me just say this. I hope you don't need this message right now. I hope your world isn't falling apart, but you better take notes, because you're going to need this someday. Life is not going to always be smooth for you. You're going to have your life fall apart multiple times in your lifetime, and you need to know what to do when your plans fall through. So you need to write this down. You certainly can share it with a friend this week, whether you're in the crisis right now or not. Now, we'll just start with Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 1. And the first lesson we learn is this. When my plans fall apart, when my world falls apart, the first thing I need to do is unload all my frustrations on God. That's the first step. I just need to tell God exactly how I feel. This is called a catharsis. You just tell God how you feel, and you can complain to God, and you can, just express all your grief and your anger and your fear. Jeremiah in this book is incredibly bold with God. He just calls God out. And he says, God, I don't like what's going on in my life. I'm tired of this. Enough's enough. I need a change. Come on, you're treating me poorly. And he complains. He does a Jeremiah. That's what we get from this book. And he lets out his anger to God in its full fury. Let me just read a few verses. In Lamentations 3, 1 to 10, he says this. I am a man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He's talking about God. He, God, has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than in light. He, God, has turned his hand against me again and again and again, all day long. He has made my skin grow old and broken my bones. He surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He's made me dwell in dark places, in darkness, like the dead. He says, God has walled me in so I cannot escape. He says, there's no way out. He says, he's weighed me down with chains. Even when I cry out to God for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has barred my way with blocks of stone. He's made my paths crooked. Now, that's in the Bible. Does that surprise you? Somebody's calling out God in the Bible? And really, he's just getting started. He does it for 5 chapters. He is just really complaining to God. And he's saying, God, this stinks. Now, why in the world would God put that kind of passage in the Bible? I'll tell you why. Because what God wants you to know, he can handle your anger. He can handle your frustration. He can handle your gripes and your grief. Actually, this entire book is one long complaint. That's why they call it Lamentation. And he, God, is allowing Jeremiah to blow off steam. Now, you've heard me say this many, many times, that if I don't talk out my emotions to God, I will take them out on my body. When I swallow my anger, my stomach keeps score. When I swallow my emotions, my frustration, I take it out on my body. So, oh man, it's a pain in the rear. Well, how do you think it got here? You swallowed it and it went south. Okay? It stopped at your neck. Some of you, the pain stopped in your neck. Some of it went a little bit lower and it went in your back. But when you swallow your negative emotions, you take it out on your body. God says, it's okay, I can handle this. Go ahead and just tell me how you're feeling. Give me all your complaints. It's not fair what's going on right now. God, I don't like this in my life. It's okay to tell God that you're ticked off.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Every day, there's a spiritual war raging all around you. In order to effectively fight this war, you need to be equipped with a knowledge of the tactics Satan will use to try to trap you. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation DVD Study Kit. In this 7-session Bible study, Pastor Rick teaches how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to influence us: passions, possessions, and position. If you expect to win the battle against temptation, it is critical that you know how to fight the predictable ways that Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation Study Kit comes with 1 7-session DVD and workbook. This Bible study is great for individual or small group use, and it's yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift today. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or 800-600-5004. Thank you so much for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
When you swallow your negative emotions, you take it out on your body. God says, it's okay, I can handle this. Go ahead and just tell me how you're feeling. Give me all your complaints. It's not fair what's going on right now. God, I don't like this in my life. It's okay to tell God that you're ticked off. Let me just show you one other verse. Down in verse 17 and 18 here on the screen, Jeremiah says this, I cannot find peace. I cannot remember happiness. He said, I've been out of work so long, I can't remember anything. I tell myself, I am finished. And I can't count on the Lord to do anything for me. See how blunt he is? How bold he is? You ever felt that way? Of course you have. God, I've had enough. This is not right. This is unfair. God says, that's okay. It's step one to recovery in your life when your world has fallen apart. You need to unload your frustrations to God. You know, now I know this isn't true of you, but when my kids were little, they used to have temper tantrums. And when I wanted them to do something they didn't want to do, or I wouldn't let them do something they wanted to do, as little immature children, they would have temper tantrums. Now, when my kids had temper tantrums, did that make me feel less than of a father? No. Did it make me want to change my mind? No. Did it cause me to doubt myself and wonder, am I really doing the right thing? No. Did it make me stop loving them? Of course not. I just knew they can't see what I see. They don't know what I know. I am more mature. I know more than they know. And maybe later they'll thank me for this. But it doesn't really matter. It's the right thing to do. And so we're going to do it whether they like it or not. And I was doing it out of love. And their temper tantrum did not bother me. It didn't make me think, oh, I'm a terrible parent. No, I just knew they were immature. God does not owe you an explanation for everything that happens in your life. God is God and you're not. And a lot of things are gonna happen in your life you're never gonna understand until you get to heaven. And when you get to heaven, you're gonna go, oh, well, that's why. Jesus told his disciples, he said, you don't understand now what's happening, but you will later. Most of the things in your life that happen to you, you're not gonna understand why they happened on this planet. And God's not gonna give you an explanation, because even if you did, you'd still go, well, I don't like it this way, and it wouldn't change anything. And so God can handle your temper tantrums. And he's not gonna love you any less, because he can handle your temper tantrums. He is God, and if an imperfect dad can do that, certainly a perfect heavenly father can. Now, once I've let it all out, and I've kind of spiritually vomited, blah. Did you like that? Then you go to the second step. And the second step is I must turn my focus from my pain to God's love. I must turn my focus from my pain, my problem, my pressure, my difficulty to God's love. Now, I may be ticked off at God. I may be mad at God. I may be railing and raging against God, but I still need to turn and realize that he still loves me no matter what. And as long as I got my mind on my pain, it's not going to solve anything. In verses 19 down to verse 26, Jeremiah says this, the thought of my pain, and by the way, we've talked about this now for several weeks, it always starts in your mind. We're in this battle called the invisible war, and whether you're battling yourself or you're battling the world around you in circumstances or you're battling Satan, it always starts in your mind. It's a mental war. The thought of my pain and my homelessness is bitter poison. He goes, it makes me really want to spit. It's bitter poison. And then he says, now I think of it constantly, and my spirit is depressed. Well, duh, it's because you're thinking of it constantly. Now, he says here, the thought of my pain and creates bitter poison. Bitterness is a poison that hurts you. Your bitterness isn't hurting somebody else. The person you're bitter against, the person you're resentful against, the person you've got a grudge against, the person you dislike, they're not even thinking about you. The bitterness is only making you miserable. It is a self-inflicted wound. It is a bitter poison. That poison will eat you up. He says, so it's a bitter poison when I'm thinking, this is not fair. This is not fair. This is not fair. But he says, I still think of it constantly. Okay, great. You think of it constantly. How's that working for you, Jeremiah? Is that making you happy? Making you positive? Is that causing peace in your life? He goes, no, my spirit is depressed. You're not going to get over your depression till you stop being bitter. You're not going to get over your depression until you let it go. You're not going to stop being depressed until you learn to forgive, until you let it go. Bitterness keeps you caught in your own pain, and that creates depression. So he says, the longer I think about it, the more depressed I get. Well, simple, change the way you think. Now he says, yet, here's the switch, where he turns his focus from his pain to God's love, yet hope returns. How does hope return? When I've lost everything, when my world's falling apart, how does hope return? Hope returns when I remember this one thing, the Lord's unfailing love and his mercy still continue. They're as fresh as the morning, they're as sure as the sunrise. The Lord is all I have. Lord is all I have, so in him I put my hope. Now he says, first off, the Lord's unfailing love and mercy, it's still there. Did you know that even when I'm railing against God, he's still loving me? That's amazing. God, I'm telling you how life is terrible right now, but you still love me. And the one thing I can count on is your love is unfailing, and it's as fresh as the morning, and it's as sure as the sunrise. And I say, the Lord is all I need. It's all I have. So I put in him my hope. You don't know God is all you need until God is all you've got. So sometimes God allows you to lose everything, and then you realize, man, all I've got is God. And then you realize, that's all I need. If you got God, he's all you need, because he's gonna take care of everything else. So I turned my focus from my pain to God's love. Look at this next verse, down in verse 31, he says this, chapter 3, the Lord is merciful and he won't reject us forever. He may bring us sorrow, but his love for us is, read it with me, sure and strong. Underline that, circle it. His love for us is sure and strong. Even in the middle of my pain, his love for us is sure and strong. He takes no pleasure in causing us grief or pain. Some people think God is some cosmic killjoy, that he's some meanie up in the sky, some universal dictator who just wants to make your life miserable. And that every time he looks down and he sees you having a little fun, he wants to say, hey, stop that. Stop having fun. And when you're smiling, he says, wipe that smile off your face. That's not God, that's your dad. And a lot of people confuse God with their overbearing father or their overbearing mother. God is not your mother. God is not like your father. God is God. So don't take some imperfect picture of your parent who might have been stringent or strict and think that that's what God is. The Bible says he takes no pleasure. He gets no thrills. He doesn't get his kicks, his jollies out of making your life miserable. When you're going through pain, what is God doing? He's grieving with you. When you're going through loss, what is God doing with you? He's grieving with you. He takes no pleasure. It's not sadistic in any way. So what do? I unload all my frustration on God. And then even though I'm mad at him, I remind myself of how much he loves me. And I focus off of my pain and my problem, and I focus on God's love. Now the next thing you need to do in rebuilding your life after it's fallen apart is in the next verse, verse 28, and it's this. I need to get alone with God and wait. Get alone with God and wait. This is the third step in the rebuilding process after a crisis, a tragedy, or a major loss. Get alone with God and wait. Now waiting before God is a spiritual discipline, a spiritual habit, a spiritual skill, and you must learn how to wait before God or you're going to be stressed out most of your life. I can always tell who knows how to wait on God and who doesn't. People that don't know how to wait on God are anxious all the time. They don't know how to let it go. They're always, always, always anxious. You have to wait on God. It is the number one de-stressor in your life. Now, what does it mean to wait on God? It means you sit down and shut up. It means you be quiet. You wait. You don't say anything. You don't ask anything. You just be quiet and you listen. And you have to make time with God every day. We call it a quiet time, where you just sit down and be quiet. Now, yes, you're going to read your Bible a little bit later and you're going to pray a little bit later. But I'm talking about literally just being quiet. Most of you have never sat in silence for 10 minutes simply waiting on God. It will revolutionize the level of stress in your life if you'll learn to do this. Lamentations 3, verse 28, Jeremiah says this. I love it in the Message. When life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself. Enter the silence. Bow in prayer. Don't ask questions. Wait. Wait for hope to appear. The reason you feel hopeless is you're not waiting for hope to appear. Now, did you know that God wants to talk to you? He's trying to talk to you all the time. So I never have God talk to me. It's because all your circuits are busy.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. Now, if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, every day, there's a spiritual war raging all around you. In order to effectively fight this war, you need to be equipped with knowledge of the tactics Satan will use to try to trap you. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the Invisible War, winning the Battle of Temptation DVD study kit. In this 7-session Bible study, Pastor Rick teaches how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to influence us: passions, possessions, and position. If you expect to win the battle against temptation, it's critical that you know how to fight the predictable ways that Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation study kit comes with 1 7-session DVD and workbook. This Bible study is great for individual or small group use, and it's yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift today. Call 800-600-5004 to get this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
God has 5 purposes for your life. He wants you to know and love Him. That's worship. He wants you to belong to His family. That's fellowship. He wants you to grow in Him. That's discipleship. He wants you to serve Him. That's your ministry. And He wants you to share Him with others. That's your mission. Today, I want to close by mentioning some important things about worship. Worship means that we surrender ourselves to God to do what He asks us to do. You were designed by God to worship something. And if you don't worship God, you're going to end up worshiping something else. You see, we place our faith in things or people around the world. And when we do that, it always lets us down. Only God will never let you down. He will never abandon you. But when you come to Him in simple love and you surrender to Him, you discover He's not a tyrant, but He's a savior. He's not a boss, but He's a brother. He's not a dictator, He's a friend. And when you come and totally surrender your life to God, you enter into the heart of worship. That's where you really get to know and love God, and you get to really know how much He loves you. Today, I want you to praise God for what He's done in your life and for how much He loves you unconditionally. That's called worship.
Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.